Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Our text this morning is from Luke chapter 17. Will any one of you who has a servant plowing or keeping sheep say to him when he has come in from the field, "Come at once and recline at table"? Will he not rather say to him, "Prepare supper for me and dress properly and serve me while I eat and drink, and afterward you will eat and drink"? Does he thank the servant because he did what was commanded? So you also, when you have done all that you were commanded, say, "We are unworthy servants. We have only done what was our duty." This is the text. This past week, I attended pastor's conference in Lincoln, Illinois, Monday through Wednesday. And on Monday before I left, I came into the office to take a look at the text for this week. Driving in a car is great sermon preparation time. It's very fertile, usually. And I read the gospel reading about we have only done what was our duty, and thinking it's LWML Sunday, and this is going to be the easiest sermon to write ever. It writes itself. However, while I was at pastor's conference, my thoughts turned elsewhere. Pastor Rich Bremer was there. He's the pastor in Stewartson, Illinois. And he was part of my circuit when I was in Pena. I've known him since 2004. He came a couple months after I did. And we served together for over 5 years there in that circuit. And I've been in contact with him since. And my dad used to do a lot of fill-in work for him, and we had a good connection there. Well, Rich has been struggling with cancer the past couple years, and one of our brother pastors from the circuit told me that there was no more that the doctors could do for Rich other than to keep him comfortable, and they gave him about 12 weeks at the most that he would be still with us here on this earth. Well, on Tuesday, during our afternoon break, I was headed out the door of the church as Rich was coming in. And it was the first time that he and I had any moment of privacy amid the throng of pastors. And I asked him, I said, "Are you done with your treatments?" And in a very weak voice, he said, "Yes, it's now just comfort measures." Well, I shook his hand and looked him in the eye, and I said to him, "It has been a pleasure to serve with you." I paused and was trying to remember the words at the end of our gospel reading about, you know, doing your duty, and I had looked at the text in preparation for writing my sermon, you know, thinking about the LWML, and I couldn't remember the exact words, so I said, "The good news is that God has given you a vocation, and you have served it faithfully. And even more, he is giving you the resurrection of the body and life everlasting." And Rich looked at me and he says, "I know, but I'm going to miss my family." And he paused, but then very confidently said, "But only for a little while." And then he walked up the stairs into the church, and I headed out the door to get something out of the car. As I thought about what Rich said about his family, I was reminded of something that was discussed at our Spring Pastors Conference when it was here in Quincy over at St. John's. Now, it is widely implied and understood that this sinful world will not be remembered in the life to come. Scripture alludes to that. I have long argued that this means a complete blotting out of all the memory of this life, as everything that we do or touch in this life is tainted by sin. And God is very specific that he will remember our sins no more, that our sins will not be remembered against us Why would we remember anything that is tainted by sin? However, a classmate of mine who was presenting at the spring conference had brought up this point, and I am leaning towards his argument that the trouble, the difficulty, the sin of this world, and the pain that it brings, it will be remembered in the same way that those who went through the Great Depression tend to remember those years. It was hard. It was difficult. But they speak of it with a twinkle in their eye very often. Now, if you did not live through those years, ask someone who did. Listen to how they speak of overcoming hardship. We have World War II veterans who go on honor flights. Well, life in the European and Pacific theaters was no picnic in World War II. There was real suffering that took place. But those years are remembered with joy, pride, honor. Tom Brokaw calls it the greatest generation. The strength to persevere in the face of real pain, in the face of real difficulty, it is often our greatest source of joy, the overcoming of that which was difficult. Why do you think for the younger people today, the Spartan mud run obstacle course races are so popular? I mean, they're miserable to go through. Swimming through ice water, electrical shock in some of them that you have to run through these cords. They make it as unfun as they can. Yet people sign up for it, pay to do it, so that they can, when it is done, because the goal is to finish the race, that you can look back and find joy that these difficulties were overcome. And the more I study this, the more I am convinced. You look at Jesus in the upper room. Jesus speaks of the troubles, the hardship, the struggles, the pain of this life. He says, are but the beginnings of birth pains. When the birth pains end, there is a new and joyous life that comes forth. Now, many mothers have said that when the child comes, you forget the birth pains. I personally know a mother who has told me that you do not forget the birth pains. As she gave birth to two daughters without the benefit of pain-killing drugs, not by choice but by circumstance, again proving that no analogy is perfect. However, the point of all this is that our memory in heaven, being a total blank slate, may not fit with the biblical model. The saints in heaven, clothed in white robes, washed in the blood of the Lamb, worshiping and praising Jesus, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world, seeing the scars of nail marks in his hands and feet, the piercing in his side. This would all be very confusing to the saints if they did not know that they had come out of the great tribulation. As their robes have been made white in the blood of the Lamb. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm not saying that we're going to have painful memories of this life. Mothers will forget the pain of childbirth. All mothers. But I am more and more convinced that mothers will not forget that they have children. You will forget the pain of those who have lied to you, who have hurt you, who have wronged you in some way. But I am convinced that you will remember the joy of that pain being overcome in Christ. The joy of the gospel, which is why all of the saints gather around the Lamb on his throne, as we see in John's Revelation. If you are in pain today, don't imagine that this is an empty message. And don't imagine that you are alone. Listen to the prophet Habakkuk. Oh Lord, how long shall I cry for help and you will not hear? Or cry to you violence and you will not save? Why do you make me see iniquity? Why do you look idly at wrong? Every generation has expressed frustration and anger at this sinful world. Even the people of God, even the prophets of God, have been frustrated with God that we don't see results in the here and now. How long, O Lord, must the righteous be surrounded by the wicked as they fight against us? Well, families of the Great Depression, fearing for their next meal, did not say at the time, oh, we are creating joyous memories that I know I'll be able to tell my grandchildren again and again and again about how life was back in the good old days. Soldiers storming the beaches on D-Day or enduring the bitter cold of the Battle of the Bulge were not thinking about the joy of an honor flight. There was no joy at the Battle of Okinawa. There was real pain. But they served, and they did that which was their duty. It is not in the here and now that we are going to feel the joy and receive the accolades for doing that which is our duty. How appropriate it is that today we celebrate LWML Sunday. Because the work of the Lutheran Women's Missionary League is accomplished without accolades, without fanfare, typically behind the scenes. We are reminded of our place within the kingdom of God. The psalmist says, I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than dwell in the tents of the wicked. We are unworthy servants who have only done what is our duty. This is true for the longest serving members of the LWML. This is true for the newest mothers who bring their babies to be baptized. It is true for all mothers and grandmothers like Lois and Eunice, who shared their faith with Timothy. This is true for soldiers in war. This is true for soldiers of the cross. We endure the pain and burden of this world all the time, looking forward to joining the saints, gathered around the throne and the Lamb of God, and looking upon the scars of his hands and feet and side. He still bears those scars that he paid for your guilt and mine with his own blood. We are unworthy servants who have been blessed to be called to serve. We do not expect thanks and honor and accolades and fanfare here in this life. All that we have done is that which is our duty, our joy, and our inheritance is in the life to come. Amen. The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.